right. Hello, everybody. TWIM listeners.
Welcome, TWIM Nation. We are the TWIM sisters, Tiffany Hales
and Ariane Smith.
And we are here today to record our monthly podcast and share with you our really kind of insignificant, inconsequential thoughts.
That's right. We're just here hanging out on a Monday night.
Exactly.
Drinking our flavored sodas.
Exactly. Drinking.
As you do.
As you do. Exactly. So. We are the fan of the Sodalicious Swig establishments.
Anyway, so much has happened in the past month.
Oh, I know.
My goodness.
It's just been unreal. And the other thing, too, is the number of changes that have been enacted effective January 1st. So, you know, I think this episode may be more about, you know, where rubber hits the road and how are these changes, albeit a short time they've been in play. How are they going down?
Yes. So let's just jump right in. Let's discuss.
Well, you know, yesterday was Sunday and it was the first Sunday of the new year, hence yes. The kickoff for 2-hour church. For those of you folks who actually had 2-hour church.
You did not get to have 2-hour church.
I did not have 2-hour church. And neither did Jeff. Because if you listened to last week's podcast, he was lamenting the fact that he had state conference this last Sunday.
But that's a bummer.
I know.
What a letdown the first Sunday.
Exactly. Well, I too had state conference this last Sunday. So we did not do 2-hour church. And in the podcast last week, Jeff was kind of saying, oh, he'd heard rumors that perhaps state conference was only 1 hour. I am here to 100% dispel that rumor. State conference is not 1 hour.
You're crushing my dreams.
I know. We had 2 hours for the adult session on Saturday night, and we had 2 hours for the general Sunday morning session. So that was 4 hours of church in a weekend where everybody else just had two. So needless to say, the at-home church, we claim to buy. We claim to pass. Because if you spend 4 hours in state conference, I don't think you should have to do at-home church as well.
Oh, that's funny.
But I do have to mention state conference because I know that this happens in other states. So we had a visiting general authority, a 70. Mm-hmm. I would love to tell you what his name is. I think it was like Heinze or Henze or something like that. He was out of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And so he asked the stake president to do the thing that everybody hates, which is...
No.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you call on some people to come up and give their testimonies? So my husband and I are sitting in the Saturday night session. Now, normally on Saturday night, we're working in the temple, in the laundry. But we had to get coverage because we wanted to go to the adult session. I don't think that will ever happen again because as we are sitting there, the stake president fires off my husband's name to come up and give his testimony. And I felt so bad for my husband. He is just, he's kind of a quiet guy. He's super humble. He's very personable. But the last thing he wants to be is in the spotlight up there spinking.
Right. Oh, I do not like it when they do that. I will tell you this. I specifically, especially on Saturday night, when we go to Saturday night state conference, because it's smaller.
Yeah.
I specifically dictate where I sit. So I am not within like eye contact of any state presidency member.
Oh, that's a smart move.
Because I'm so worried about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the bishop said to Darren afterwards, after Darren finished talking, you know, and the meeting had concluded, he said, I'm sure that was just a blowout of all plaque and artery clogging material for your heart.
That's right.
But he did a wonderful job. So.
Oh, good.
Anyway, enough about state conference. I am dying to hear your report of 2-hour church yesterday.
2-hour church was great. Okay, so these are my thoughts on it.
Okay,
so far, I mean, it's only been one day. So
now it was sacrament meeting Sunday school yesterday.
It was sacrament meeting Sunday school. So first of all, sacrament meeting seemed so short. Now they only shaved off 10 minutes.
Yeah,
but it was testimony meeting.
Okay,
and like 10 minutes less of testimonies. I really noticed it. I could feel a difference in the time.
Really,
you wouldn't think you would feel a difference, and this might also partially because my kids are like little timers.
Yeah.
Like you can time the end of sacrament meeting by when my children are done. My children were not done. So 10 minutes shaved off was perfect. perfect.
So they were still on the 70-minute clock and not the 60-minute clock.
Yeah, they were doing awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious. So,
and it ended and I was like, oh, we made it. Anyway, it was good. It was a great testimony meeting. But then this was the interesting thing. It was a Sunday school week. And everybody had new classes. There was just a ton of excitement.
Yeah.
Because all of the youth, you know, the 11-year-olds were now going to Sunday school. There was just a lot of buzz. So what was really interesting, they printed all of the classes in the programs.
Okay.
So that, you know, they didn't. They're trying to cut back on announcements in the sacrament meeting.
Did they have the assigned classroom in the program?
Yeah, they had the classroom number, the teacher's names, the kids in the class. There was such a buzz after sacrament meeting to everybody get to class quickly. I think just knowing that church was only 2 hours, it was amazing. Like
nobody lingered longer.
Nobody lingered. Kids went straight to primary. This was fascinating.
My favorite thing is to linger longer in the chapel and maybe I'll be able to skip Sunday school.
I dropped my kids at primary and I was probably in my seat in the Sunday school room by 10 after for sure.
Oh, wow.
Maybe sooner. And it was packed.
Oh, really?
So they did Sunday school for us in the Relief Society room. And they said, we're going to see how this goes. If we all fit, if we don't all fit, we'll have to move to the chapel. We fit, but it was like.
It was tight.
It was tight. They had more chairs in there than they usually have for Relief Society. This is the thing. Sunday school is having a moment.
Oh, yes.
I
never even thought about that.
I feel like this is revitalizing Sunday school.
Well, yeah, because it's not like, oh, I can goof off for an hour and then I'll go to, you know, priesthood or Relief Society.
Everybody was super on time. I will say Sunday school felt very long because we started on time.
Okay.
We started like at 10 after.
Okay.
So by the end, I was like, this is the longest Sunday school ever. But it was good. I mean, there was a lot of really good discussion happening. So, and I was looking around and I was trying to figure out, like, why is it so packed in here? I mean, twice as many people as normal.
Okay.
And then it dawned on me that you've got young men and young women leaders that don't have young men and young women. So they don't need to be in the hall scrambling
to get ready for
young men and young women that day. Then they also got rid of the family history and the gospel essentials, which I don't think took a lot of people out.
Yeah.
But then in general, I just think you've got a lot of people that were maybe in the hall or doing some stuff for their callings and now.
Or lingering longer in the chapel.
And I don't know if it was maybe because it was the first week and people are excited, but.
Well, where are you going to go? You're going to either have to like go to Sunday school or go home.
Yeah. Now that church is 2 hours.
There's not a middle ground there.
Get in, get out, move on.
Exactly.
Like, people, we're all business.
Oh, that's too funny.
But Sunday school was great. I mean, to have all those extra people in there, there was great discussion. So, and I have been one that historically has struggled with Sunday school.
Yes.
Not because we don't have good teachers. We actually have excellent teachers in our ward. I just feel like I have some primary induced ADD from my many years serving in primary.
I can respect that.
And I can't sit still. But I feel like this is kind of revitalizing Sunday school. Now, you know, knowing that I only have 2 hours, that makes it easier for me to sit still in Sunday school.
Very, very true. You know, I'm wondering if this is resulting in gospel doctrine teachers now like, dang, I've got to up my game. You know, I got more people in here. Just like you said, Sunday school's having a moment. They're like, I got to bring the A game. I can't send in the B game.
It was really interesting, though. I think also why it felt so long, there was no opening prayer. There were no announcements. Uh-huh. It was just like, okay, it's 10 after. We're in. We're going to start.
Wow.
So it was very, I feel like everybody's using their time very wisely all of a sudden.
Well, it will be interesting to see how that carries on because you know that like those Relief Society sisters, because we had a planning meeting yesterday for a couple of Relief Society activities and realized, how are we going to get to our sisters to like for sign-up sheets and stuff? And we thought, well, we're just going to have to pass them around Sunday school.
Yes.
So
we had this dilemma too because we have an activity coming up and we had some flyers.
Yeah.
And so our Relief Society presidency member stood at the door and handed them only to the women as they left. And she said, I felt a little bad. Some of those men looked like they wanted to be invited.
Oh, dang. Okay, well, that's an interesting way to address that issue.
Yeah. We'll have to be creative. Well,
it will be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, we're just at week one.
Yes. But I wanted to say one thing about the good discussion that we had in our Sunday school class yesterday. Like I said, it was a great discussion. There were a lot of people in there. So probably more variety.
Yes.
Anyway, one of the things the teacher was just asking us, he started out, how's it going? You know, did anybody do stuff at home today? How's it going? And this one sister raised her hand and she said, I'm still trying to finish the Book of Mormon, so I haven't had a chance to even look at this yet.
Oh my gosh. And can I tell you how much I respect that lady? I'm still working on that myself.
I loved her honesty because I am too. I feel like I think I'm maybe on the January 15th plan to finish, which is pretty good.
That is that you're far better off than me. I'm so ashamed where I'm at. I'm not even going
to
tell you.
It's okay. I had to step it up and like start listening to the audio tracks
because
I was like, I'm never going to get through this if I read it. So I've been listening to it everywhere in the car, like a podcast or something.
Ah.
But I loved somebody else raised their hand and said, hey, it's okay. You know, don't be hard on yourself. It was a very supportive environment. And one of the things that he quoted, he said,
your teacher.
This was just another person in class.
Okay.
That was commenting after this sister was joking and lamenting over not finishing the Book of Mormon.
Let alone starting the home base.
We have not started this yet. So another guy in class said, well, hey, it's okay. He said, I was just, you know, on Facebook this week on President Nelson's page. He said, you know, to all the sisters that haven't finished, it's okay. So I was like, oh, President Nelson's face. I've never looked at President Nelson's
Neither
face.
Neither have I. You just pulled this up. I had no idea.
So I pulled it up because I was like, well, I need to get on and read that quote because.
Well, I'm kind of guessing he's not actually typing this out.
Probably not. But encouraging words for those of
us
who have not finished yet.
Exactly.
Which, if you finish, that's awesome and great. But if you have not finished, he quoted this quote from President Nelson from his Facebook page, and I loved it because I thought it was so encouraging. This is what President Nelson said on his page, or somebody said on his page.
Well, we're going to assume that all words are approved by him, maybe just not directly typed in by him.
That's right.
Okay.
So this was posted on December 30th, and he said, dear sisters, remember the challenge I gave you? And he reviewed what it was.
Yes.
And then he said, I hope that each of these invitations has brought you closer to the Savior. If you have struggled with any of them, please don't be hard on yourself. You can start today. The Lord is happy with any effort we make to draw closer to him.
Oh.
And I thought that was really sweet. Kudos. And good.
Oh,
and
I love that.
I loved that he knows who he's talking to.
Exactly.
We as women.
We beat each other up.
We're hard on ourselves.
We beat each other. Well, I shouldn't say beat each other up. Yeah. We beat ourselves
up.
We are very hard on ourselves.
So I thought that was cool. And I thought it was very nice of the guy in Sunday school to bring that. It was just a really good supportive environment.
Exactly.
In class,
and I like what President Nelson said of, you know, the Lord is appreciative of any effort you make. So that maybe has reinvigorated me to get back on the bandwagon and finish.
Yeah. Even if it's in July.
Even if it's, and it might be.
It's totally, you know, whatever you're doing is
exactly
good.
Okay.
So
great.
I liked that a lot.
And then
that quote also made me feel a little bit better about what happened in my home for my home church.
Oh my. Now again, I did not have home-based church because I had 4 hours of state conference. So tell me about your family's experience with home-centered church.
Well, let's just say we're still tweaking how this is going to work.
Oh my.
So for our first attempt, we thought, well, we have church at noon, so why don't we just try to do a little lesson in the morning before we go to church on Sunday? Because I feel like it will get done better than if we push it off till
later. That's brave to do it in the morning.
Till later in the day.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, church at noon.
Okay.
But church any earlier than noon and this would not be happening.
But see, I think church at noon means I don't get out of bed until 11.
It's because you have teenagers.
No, that's true. Because my teenagers don't get out of bed until 11.
So, and we're trying to be super realistic. Like, I'm thinking this is not going to be an hour. I think most people aren't going to.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, for my family, this is going to be like 10, 15 minutes. It's probably all we got.
That's probably about the attention span.
Yes.
The 10 minutes that you missed in sacrament, you will now have at home.
Yes. Okay. So we sat around the table after we had all gotten ready for church.
Okay.
We had a little bit of extra time before we had to leave.
So you're dressed in your church finest.
Dressed and ready to go. We sat around the table, had the girls bring their scriptures. All I will say, there was much murmuring, many eye rolls.
Oh, my. We had a little Laman and Lemuel going on.
Oh, yes, we did.
Oh, my.
It was rough. Like, real rough.
Well,
and I can't say it got better by the end, but we tried.
Hey, and as President Nelson says, any effort you make is appreciated by the Lord.
That's right.
And if the listeners out there want to see something really hilarious, I believe you needed a little doodle therapy afterwards.
Yeah.
So Ariane sent me this picture last night where she had doodled some of the things her children had said just to kind of have a little therapy to process through it. And we have put that up on the Twim Sisters Instagram account. It's hilarious. Go look at it.
Yes, but we'll try again. I'm not giving up.
All right. Well, in other new changes that affect our family, as has been previously discussed a couple weeks ago in the podcast, 11-year-olds are now moving into Deacons and Beehives, as well as 13-year-olds and 15-year-olds are moving to their respective quorums if they turn 14 or 16 this year.
They got a fast pass.
I know. And we both have 11-year-olds. So this is a significant impact to both of us because of our 11-year-olds. So.
And they were both thrilled.
They were both thrilled.
Most 11-year-olds would be.
They were over primary, to say the least. So, yes, they got the fast pass. And so, your 11-year-old, they haven't done much with as of yet.
No,
well,
not
she
yet.
Went to Sunday school.
She went to Sunday school. She will go to Mutual this week for the first time, which is, I'm like having to wrap my head around, I got to start making sure she's there every week at 7.
So, well, my bishop, I got a text from the executive secretary, probably Thursday or Friday of last week. And he said, hey, the bishop wants to meet with Katie. That's my 11-year-old. You know, can she come in at 2:22? It was a very specific time on Sunday. And I said, yes, she can. And so, you know, we coordinated that. But what I thought was really interesting is probably the day of, I get a text from the executive secretary that says, parents are welcome to come in if they would like.
Oh.
Which, that was a big change in the interview procedures last year, too.
Right.
And so, you know, we were already planning on coming in. Darren and I had sat down with Katie on Saturday night and said, okay, you know, you're going to have your bishop's interview tomorrow. We just kind of want to talk to you about, you know, what the bishop's going to say and some of the questions. And the reason I was doing this is with my older daughter, Lauren, it didn't even dawn on me that I needed to prepare her for the interview. Mm-hmm. And so she comes out of the interview and she's like, Mommy was talking about the law of chastity. What is that? You know,
when she was 12.
Oh. You know, she didn't have a clue. And so I thought, okay, lesson learned. We're going to have this discussion beforehand. So, you know, we sat down and talked about some of the things that the bishop was going to ask her. She wanted a temple recommend. So we went over the temple recommend questions. I asked her, I said, have you ever heard of the law of chastity? She had never heard of that. That's not really something they discuss in primary.
No.
So I put that into a context because she knows about the birds and the bees. And so I put that into a context that she would understand. And then I said to her, I said, Katie, I said, you can either go in with the bishop by yourself, or if you want Darren and I to come with you, we can come with you. And she said, I want you to come with me. So we were already planning on going before we extended this invitation. So when we got there on Sunday, the bishop had just scheduled a whole afternoon of youth interviews. He literally scheduled them every 7 minutes apart. And so every time he would, so we got there and of course he was already behind. When we got there, every time he would walk out and invite a new youth to come in, he would turn to the parents and he would say, you're welcome to come in if you want.
Very nice.
I know. I thought it was very nice. And the older kids that were there, they didn't care about having their parents in. But I noticed that my 11-year-old and another 11-year-old very much wanted their parents in there.
Oh, I'm sure my 11-year-old is going to want. We haven't talked to her about it yet. That's on my list to do ASAP.
Okay.
But we did already, they haven't scheduled ours yet, but my husband already kind of preemptively emailed the secretary and said, when you do this, just be sure, you know, to schedule through us. We want to be in there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then when we were in there, I thought it was really interesting. You know, the bishop is going, you know, talking about primary and, you know, keeping the commandments and stuff. And he asks her about the law of chastity. And she says, oh, we talked about that last night, you know, turned to her parents. And he said, good, because he said, I don't think it's appropriate for me to be discussing the law of chastity with 11-year-olds.
Oh, I like your bishop.
I like my bishop too, because again, you know, having that discussion with a much older teenager, you know, right. or child is entirely different than having that discussion with an 11-year-old.
Right.
So.
I don't know. Don't you feel like there's probably majority of bishops are relieved about these new guidelines?
I can't imagine why they wouldn't be.
Like to give them more of an...
Exactly.
Of an out, this is not my department.
Like, exactly.
Like I'm sure it relieves some of the pressure.
I don't know. I don't know why it wouldn't. I mean, my bishop just seemed so relaxed when he was mm-hmm. just, he literally invited every parent if they wanted to come in.
I love that.
I loved it too. Mm-hmm. So, and I can report that the Meridian Temple is ready for 11-year-olds. When we went in to do our laundry shift a couple of weeks ago, they had ordered in medium youth suits and large youth suits, because previously our smallest size was an extra, extra small.
Adult?
Adult.
So they didn't have any kids.
They did not have any youth sizes.
And that's surprising, because there's some tiny 12-year-olds.
I know, and the tiny 12-year-olds were drowning in the extra, extra smalls.
So the tiny 12-year-olds are thrilled.
The tiny 12-year-olds and now all the 11-year-olds will all have suits, at least if you come to the Meridian Temple in your size. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Katie has her temple recommend, and I think we're going to, this Thursday night, we're going to go together as a family to the temple and do baptisms with her.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Very cool.
Okay.
All right.
Also, speaking of temple, so my daughter Shelby, as I have mentioned, is going on a mission, and so she went through the temple, and she went through the temple a few weeks ago. Right before Christmas, and our temple does an interesting thing, and I don't know if all the temples out there do this, but when a missionary goes through, if they go through far enough in advance before they leave on their mission, mm-hmm. and she went through about a month before she left on her mission, they snag those missionaries to come in and be ordinance workers. And so one of the counselors in our temple presidency snagged Shelby and said, I'm sure you want to be an ordinance worker before you go on your mission, which she did. And so they set her up with approximately 10 ordinance worker shifts that she gets to go in and set her apart as an ordinance worker. And she gets to do that before she goes on her mission. And, like I said, I don't know if they do that in every temple, but from what I understand is it's just so good for them. And that the kids who do that, again, I mean, there's always kids that return from their mission for a whole variety of reasons. But the kids that do that apparently have less of a return rate of coming home early. So
that's interesting.
I don't know, you know, if that's just a correlate, you know, what the correlation is there, if there's any correlation whatsoever. But she's loving that.
That's very cool.
Which then brings me to what happened last week.
Other temple changes, I hear.
Other temple changes.
I have not been yet, but you have.
I have. So Jeff alluded to this in the podcast last week. They had heard rumors that there may be changes to some in the endowment ceremony, as well as some of the other ordinances performed in the temple. And so I think they recorded their podcast on New Year's Day. And I guess the Nauvoo Temple was open on New Year's Day, but it really hit on the 2nd of January. Mm-hmm. The internet, Facebook was just running amok with these rumors.
Right.
And so probably about mid-morning that day, the church released a statement saying, oh yeah, periodically we change the ceremonies and we do that, you know, when we receive inspiration from the Lord, and these are sacred ordinances, so we really don't like to talk about them.
Right.
So I called my husband up and I said, I think there's been some changes. We need to go to the temple, which we were planning on going anyway, because Shelby had been to the Meridian Temple, but she had not been to the Boise Temple, which is very different from the Meridian Temple. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to do a session in Boise on Thursday night. So we just changed that session to Wednesday night in Boise, which was good because the temple has been packed ever since then.
So when you did your baptistry shift on Saturday, was it just...
Well, I didn't do my baptistry shift because
that's right. You had
my husband was
state conference,
getting his arteries declogged, nearly having a heart attack.
Yes.
Anyway, but from what I hear from my friends who are ordinance workers, that practically every session was full. Uh-huh. I think one of my friends told me that she worked the midday session on Saturday at the Meridian Temple. They had something like 350 people through the temple that just in her time period for her session.
Wow.
So, and then I've had other friends say who worked on Thursday afternoon said, yeah, 70 people in every session.
Wow.
So really busy. When we went on Wednesday night to Boise, like I said, it was still percolating, so to speak.
Right.
So we only had about 20 people in our session in Boise, but I just want to say it is so beautiful. I love the changes. You know, I can only speak for the endowment. I haven't done ceilings or initiatories, but I just felt the spirit so strongly when I was in there. And I just would encourage anybody that, you know, go to the temple, experience, you know, what they've done, because I absolutely loved it. I just thought it was beautiful. It was inspiring. And I had no doubt that the Lord had a hand in it.
Oh, it's cool. I can't wait to go.
I know. I know. So, and you, let's feed the rumor mill. We love the LDS rumor
mill. That's right. We're just going to contribute to it here because, you know, why not? So, friend of a friend, I can't even give you a name.
Okay. Friend of a friend.
Friend of a friend.
Does all good rumors start with a friend of a friend?
That's right.
Okay.
Friend of a friend had a relative that went to the Bountiful Temple on...
It would have been Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning.
Cruises in to do a session.
Not even knowing there's any changes.
And in her session is President Nelson, his wife, and Sheridu.
Which that's not far-fetched because, as we know, Wendy Nelson and Sherry Doo, yes, they're BFFs.
And so then, of course, the session starts and, of course, you know, whoa. Anyway, that's all I know. Friend of a friend was in the session.
Oh, my gosh.
The prophet.
Can you imagine you show up to do a regular session? You think you're doing a regular session. First of all, you're like, oh, hey, there's a prophet sitting over there, you know, which is going to make your regular session not so regular.
Right.
And then they start the session and you're like, this isn't even a regular session, despite the fact the prophet's not there.
What
the prophet's
is going
there.
On?
So, which, you know, leads me to wonder, okay, you know, because I know that Sherry Doo lives in the Bountiful area, and I think President Nelson and Wendy lived there before he was called as prophet. I don't know if they still live there, because I know they try and keep him in the apartment in downtown Salt Lake, but it just made me ponder. Who signs his temple recommend? You know, does he have an assigned ward with a bishop and a stake president? Or does he go to Dallin H. Oaks, since he's the president of the quorum of the 12, and say, hey, Dallin, give me my temple recommend interview?
I don't know. I think any of the above would be working.
I think you would be too.
Everybody has multiple options.
Because, you know, again, I wonder, you know, is he assigned a home ward? Because let's face it, he's really not going to be in his home ward very often.
Right.
So then what do you mark him as? Absent? Inactive? He's never at church? Or at least not at the ward he's assigned to? Anyway, I don't know. Just interesting, funny things to ponder. So, and speaking of which, I found a great article, and there's a link to this on the TWIM Facebook account. It is from thirdhour.org, and it is entitled, What Latter-day Saints Do in Each Room of Their Temples, with Pictures and Descriptions. And this is a great article. First of all, it's completely respectfully written. There is nothing in there that you haven't found stated by any general authority or in any church book. So this is not an article that is disrespectful of the temple in any way, shape, or form. The pictures that are used in this article are all pictures that come from the Mormon Newsroom site or available on through LDS.org. And it is just a really great article. I thought, you know what, if you had a member of your family who maybe wasn't a member of the church, this would be a great article for them.
Right.
I also thought if you were teaching a youth class and you wanted to teach a little bit about the temple, this would be a really good article to reference, because it talks about, you know, how temples have historically been around ever since Old Testament times and why we worship in the temple and the similarities between our temple now and Old Testament temples.
And the pictures are cool. I remember many years ago when I was in Young Women's, it was hard to find pictures. Now they're more
prevalent.
Available.
Yes.
It was hard to find pictures of the inside of the temple. And I remember there was that one old booklet called The Holy Temple. I think it was by Packer.
Boyd K. Packer.
And I remember I always kept it on hand to show them pictures, because it was the only thing I had that had really good pictures of the inside. And I think that for the youth, that's really important that they have some kind of idea.
Exactly.
Because I just remember as a youth, not knowing what it would be like
and
at
it,
all.
And it so kind of freaks you out. Yeah. You know, then you think it's scary rather right. than sacred. And right. so I like a little more of the transparency. You know, mm-hmm. it talks about the ceremonial clothing. I mean, it doesn't obviously go into details, but mm-hmm. you know, why we wear the ceremonial clothing and that, you know, many other religions have ceremonial clothing as well. You know, we're not weird in that regard at all.
Right.
So, we will link to that, but I thought it was just a great article, especially for somebody who was preparing to go to the temple or wanted to know more about the temple,
right.
never having been through it.
Very cool.
Okay. Speaking of temples.
All right. Oh, well, since we're still on temple news, there is a article on LDS Living right now about a man that is creating LDS temples in the game Minecraft. His name is Justin Tate.
Okay.
And he has made it his mission to create LDS temples in the Minecraft game. I really don't know much about Minecraft.
I don't know anything about Minecraft. Other than my son
but I guess
enjoyed
you
it several years ago.
Create things in there. Anyway, if you get on LDS Living or he has a Facebook page
yes.
called Latter-day Saints Minecraft.
Okay.
You can see pictures of the images he's created. I mean, obviously they're like digital
yeah.
computery gamey images of the temples.
Cause I think Minecraft is like all the like little square things. So
yeah.
I think everything has to be square. I don't know.
Anyway, they look cool. He's done several temples.
I know. I saw several of the pictures.
I really want to know how old he is and if he's married. Like, does he have a wife and kids or is this like his life? Like,
that is a good question because, again, not knowing anything about Minecraft, I have no idea. Is it easy to create a temple in Minecraft?
Does this take hours and hours?
Or is it like taking your pile of Legos and trying to create a 3D Lego yeah, temple?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
I'm so curious. Anyway, good for him.
Cool. And then just to finish up on temples, there is currently a link on the TWIM Facebook page right now. It is a video of the Rome Temple. Now, as you know, if you've ever been to San Diego or Washington, D.C., you are driving down the freeway, da-da-da-da, minding your own business, and then boom.
Shazam.
Shazam. There is the temple in your face right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is the same thing with the Rome Temple. And that's what this video shows is someone is driving down the road, and all of a sudden, rising up is the Rome Temple.
So cool.
It's very cool. So go to our Facebook page and see that video.
It'll make us all want to go to Rome.
Exactly.
All right. What do we have next?
This came out the same. We have some new missions and this came out the same day that they released the press release on temple changes.
Lots of things happening.
So new missions and cancellation of
new missions and some merging and dissolving of other
yes.
missions. So four new missions out of the country. One is in the Republic of Congo. There's one in Guatemala. There's one in Peru. One in Philippines. I'm not going to say the names because I will butcher them.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, if I tried, I'd butcher them too. But all countries that we know where the church is growing
right.
exponentially.
Yeah, for sure. And then there are 12 missions that they're just kind of dissolving
yes.
and joining them into other missions. One of them is the mission that we reside in.
Exactly.
The Nampa, Idaho mission.
Yes.
Even though neither of us live in Nampa.
I know. It's really kind of funny. So we were originally in the Boise mission. And this whole area has been the Boise mission for years. And then around probably 2013, probably about 5 years or so ago, when they had the influx of missionaries, they subdivided Boise and divided it into two missions and created this Nampa mission, which was really kind of mind-blowing for me. We both grew up in Nampa. It's a suburb of Boise that's about 20 miles away, but it's just like Nampa has its own mission. That's just weird. And where we physically are geographically located, we were removed from the Boise Mission. I'm right on the border of the Boise Mission because the Boise Mission runs along Highway 55.
Mm.
Not that anyone other than us knows where Highway 55 is. Anyway, so even though we do not live in Nampa and you have a Boise address, you've been in the Nampa Mission. But it sounds like I'm assuming since they say that they're going to merge with adjoining missions.
Right.
I am assuming that that will put us back in the Boise Mission.
Probably. So there are 12 of these that are dissolving and almost all of them are in the U.S., but there's one in Canada,
Japan, Korea.
One in South America. So
yeah.
Majority U.S. missions, but
exactly.
a few out of the country. that will dissolve and merge. And they just said, you know, the number of missionaries surged to about 88,000, you know, back in 2012. And now it's back down to closer to 65,000. Yeah. So this is just a normal kind of merging of missions. Yes.
And this will take place in July of 2019, because that is historically when mission presidents change over. And in fact, at our state conference, we had the Nampa mission president and his wife there speaking. And while they did not indicate that their mission was being dissolved, they did state they were going home in July.
Oh, good timing.
Good timing. So, all right. So the next article, and I don't know how much we'll talk about this, but I want to give a shout out to it. It is an article entitled Being Cherished. And it is on a blog called Coffee and Crumbs. And, you know, lest you think, well, coffee and crumbs, how is this LDS related? The author of this article is a woman by the name of Lauren Lemons. And she is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And she's also one of our listeners. And I read this article and I absolutely loved it. She talks about her little baby girl. She gave birth to a little baby girl, I think in March of 2018. And she had two little boys before that. And so she's just talking about this little baby girl and how she learned to give this little baby girl a massage. And it's really an opportune time to connect with her little girl. But what I really like is she talks about a lot of body image issues in here. And I think all of us as women, we start struggling with body image issues in our teenage years, and I'm not sure we ever fully recover from it. And this is probably universal whether you're LDS or not, but I know, again, when we were talking about how LDS women are really hard on themselves, she talks about learning to connect with her daughter and cherishing her own body for the three children that it has created, and not being so hard on herself, just like what President Nelson said. And so I really liked it. It is so well written. I'm just going to quote a little thing from it. She says, "I'm learning and relearning to love my body. Without it, my children would not be here. My daughter's body could not exist without my own. Loving her physical self can bring me back full circle to acceptance of my own physicality."
That's cool.
I really liked it. So it's so well written. And so we're put a link and everybody can go read Lauren's article and hopefully not be so hard on yourself if you're a woman. Because like I said, I think it's just universal. We just all struggle with that.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Next thing we have, another LDS Living article. This is a follow-up to the Light the World campaign with the vending machines.
So
this was fun because it's just always fun to see how it turns out and how much they raised.
Well, and I think we talked about the vending machines when we did our December podcast because they had just come out. This year, they were in Salt Lake, they were in London, New York, the Philippines, and Arizona, which, how random is that?
But I know, at the Mesa Temple, because they do those big, they do big lights at the Mesa Temple, because I had a friend that went to Arizona, and she went and did it at the Mesa Temple, and she said the line to get to the vending machine and purchase from the vending machine was so long. Like they had to wait and wait in line to get to the vending machine, but it was on her list of things she wanted to do. So they waited.
Dang. Well, I know the Mesa Temple's closed for renovation, but apparently it's not closed for exterior lighting.
I guess they still did the lights.
Wow. So, and who knew that you'd have to wait longer at the vending machine than, you know, maybe perhaps the women's bathroom.
I know.
All right. So how much money did we raise?
So raised over $2 million. For LDS charity.
I think it was about 2.3.
Yeah. 2.3 million. So, and you know, they had the different categories. There was 10,000 went toward clothing, 20,000 went toward livestock and animals.
This isn't dollars. There were 10,000 purchases towards clothing.
Right. Yeah. That's right. 28,000 donations toward food and meals, 9,000 plus donations toward education and recreation materials, 5,000 plus towards maternal and infant health.
Wow.
So very cool to see the breakdown.
I love that. And and that's fun. I mean, I think we've never seen the vending machines because, well, they're not quite here in Boise yet. But I think it's a really fun concept.
Yeah.
It is a really great concept.
Very unique, and it always goes over well every year.
So. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we are going to move on to one of our favorite sections that we tend to have every time, which I like to call Mormons Behaving Badly.
Every time. Will they just not like knock it off?
They cannot help themselves. And I am not going to call this one. In fact, I think we should always call this Mormons Behaving Badly. I'm not going to say members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints behaving badly. I'm going to flat out say, no, these are Mormons behaving badly, since we know how President Nelson feels about the term Mormons. So and I should say with this one, before I announce it, this Mormon is alleged to have been behaving badly.
All right.
He has not been convicted yet. He's only been indicted. Yes. So what we have is we have a politician down in Georgia. His name is Michael Williams, and he is a member, apparently, of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He was a state senator, and he gave up his state senator role to run for governor of the state of Georgia. And he did lose in the primary. His big shtick was he had the deportation bus. And so he drove his bus around, and he was very, deport them. Just think of the Trump rhetoric. That's kind of what he was about. So apparently in May of 2018, he reported that there was a break-in at his campaign headquarters. A la Watergate. Although I don't think he was saying that a political operative did it, but he said that $3,000 worth of, or no, $300,000 worth of computer equipment was stolen. And apparently this computer equipment was mining for cryptocurrency. And so he reports this theft.
Can you just mine for cryptocurrency?
Well, you know, it was explained to me once, and so I'm going to kind of go back into the depths of my memory. You set up these computers, and I can't remember how you mine for cryptocurrency, but it was explained to me at one point in time.
I want to mine for some cryptocurrency.
Well, you have to have really expensive computers and servers to be able to do it, because everybody wants to mine for cryptocurrency. Speaking of which, like a year ago, it was Sky High, and now it's like worth nothing. Anyway, so he had these computers mining for cryptocurrency, and he's a big supporter of cryptocurrency. Apparently, while he was in the Georgia State Legislature, he introduced some bill that, you know, you can pay with cryptocurrency. So he alleges that these computers have been stolen, $300,000 worth, files an insurance claim. Well, he ends up losing in the primary, and I'm not really sure, you know, what happened between the primary in May and when he got indicted in December. But in December, a grand jury indicted him on three charges: insurance fraud, making a false statement to police, and filing a false police report. So somebody somewhere believes that perhaps maybe these the $300,000 worth of computer equipment might not have been stolen. Again, these are just allegations. We do not know the truth. He has pled not guilty, and his lawyer is adamant he never did this.
Always the politicians.
It is always the politicians, usually in our segments of Mormons Behaving Badly. But let's talk about a good politician, and let's redeem.
That's right.
The politicians, because they're not all of them are not that way.
That's right.
Okay.
Not all members of the church who are politicians
behave badly
are bad. So we read an article, I think just posted in the past couple of days, that said Mia Love, of course, one of Utah's most famous politicians, yes, but just did not get reelected.
No, she lost. She was a congresswoman. And I believe, well, she was definitely, I think.
Well, she lost to the guy that was doing the shady mailers about church stuff. Remember? Isn't that who she lost to?
Well,
he was quoting scripture. Oh, it wasn't him.
It wasn't him.
Somebody else.
It was somebody else
that was opposing her on his behalf, or
I can't remember. No, the guy she lost to was a guy named Ben McAdams, and he was the Salt Lake County mayor, and he's also a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints,
which they were saying on the flyers.
Yes. And I read a profile of him recently. Uh-huh. I think, I can't remember if it was in the Deseret News or the Salt Lake Tribune. Just, I mean, he's a downright decent guy. So, excuse me. So I think the flyer that was going was around
the outside group
was a peripheral group who wanted to see him elected, but I don't think it was per se condoned by him.
Okay.
But I think the vote difference between the two of them was less than 1,000. Close, they had it? To do a recount, yeah. And it was very, very close. But she served either 4 terms or 6 terms for a while.
Yeah, it was a while. But the good news
is she has a new job.
She's got a job. So
tell us what she's doing these days.
Oh, she is going to be a commentator on CNN.
Well, there you have it. And that's what Jason Chaffetz did when he left office. Although he did not leave office when he was a congressman from Utah, and he did not leave office by not getting reelected. He voluntarily resigned and then accepted a commentator post. And I want to say maybe I don't think he's with CNN. I think maybe he's with Fox.
Okay.
So we're
excited for her.
Yes. If you get on CNN, you may see former Congressman Mia Love, also a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And that's right.
She is not behaving badly.
And she's the one, isn't it, that Trump has like no love for. That he's always, wasn't she the one that when she lost, he called her and said, or called her out and said she lost because she wasn't like on board with the Trump?
Oh, I don't recall, but that nothing about that would surprise me.
I'm pretty sure that he was calling her out on that. Yeah. Anyway,
well,
CNN said, we'll have you.
which brings a very interesting question. You know, Mitt Romney just recently took office. He replaced Senator Orrin Hatch. And one of the first things he did was fire a shot across the bow at Trump saying, I didn't like him when he was campaigning and I'm still not a big fan. Basically saying, you know, our politicians should behave in a dignified manner and perhaps President Trump doesn't always do that. So it should be really interesting to see how the Romney-Trump thing plays out in Washington. Will be
interesting. He's the new Jeff Flake.
The new Jeff Flake.
Poking Trump.
Poking the bear. All right. Well, then I think that brings us to our favorite things.
All right. Well, should I go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. So my favorite thing this week is an app.
Okay, we love a good app.
I love a good app. So this is a new app I found. I have been on the hunt to find an app to help me organize my recipes.
Okay.
Now, part of the reason is many times I will be out with my phone and I was at your house a couple weeks ago and you stumbled upon our grandma's caramel corn recipe
from
years ago. And I was like, hand that over. And I took a picture with my phone. And like, I've had friends text me pictures of recipes when I'll try something and say, oh, I really love that. Can I have the recipe? They'll send me a text with the picture. So I've had these pictures of recipes on my phone accumulating. And I've been like, what am I going to do with these? Like, I can't find them again when I need them.
Okay.
So I've been on the hunt for a recipe app and I found one that so far I really am loving. It is called Cookbook.
Oh.
Now it's not a free app. I tried a different one that was a free version. It just wasn't kind of doing everything I wanted it to do. So I tried this one. It's called Cookbook. It was $5.
Okay. That's reasonable.
Which is not too bad because I looked at many that are like a subscription service.
I don't want a monthly commitment.
Yeah. I don't want that either.
I'm not about that life.
So this one is a one-time $5 fee.
Okay.
It's called Cookbook. So far, I love it. You can suck in recipes from like your favorite websites.
Okay.
And it will suck them into the app and you can look them up and they're all formatted in the app with pictures.
So,
and you don't have to log into the website or to get them. They're just right there in your app.
Oh.
And then if you don't have internet, you've still got your pictures and your recipes on your app. And then also it can do the same with a photo on your phone.
Okay, so did you suck in the caramel corn recipe?
I sucked in the caramel corn recipe
from my phone. Okay, because the caramel cone recipe was handwritten. It was written in our grandmother's longhand.
No, I think the one you gave me was
it typed? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll do handwriting.
Okay.
Haven't tried that yet.
Okay. So what does it, so when it sucked up the typed recipe, like it recognized all of the characters and everything?
So there are just a few steps. You have to highlight what the title is.
Okay.
You have to highlight what the ingredients are.
Okay.
And then you highlight the directions. and it sucks it in and formats it, and you have it in your little recipe book, and then you tag it with whatever category you want it to go under, like desserts or treats or gifts from the kitchen.
I may need this.
And so now I can have all my recipes combined, like my online favorite ones. It will suck them in, but it can also suck in like an actual picture that I take of a recipe.
If I have the app, can you share with me a recipe from that app that will then come to me and put it in my app as well?
Oh, that's a good question.
And see, the reason I'm asking this is because, as I have discussed, Shelby's going on a mission. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I wanted to do before she went on her mission was kind of put together a cookbook for her. Well, that's not happening.
Oh.
And so and she's on a mission where she's going to have availability to a phone. In fact, she's already bought the phone. There is some computer software that like limits the apps that she has. And I don't know if this would be a limiting app, but that would be so cool if I could just like send her recipes.
Oh, look, there's a share recipe button.
Oh,
apparently can. I'm still kind of figuring it out, everything it can do, but apparently you can share a recipe.
Oh, well, I could send it to her as an email.
Yeah, you could. Anyway.
Okay.
So far, I really love it. It's awesome. So that's my favorite thing this
week. Okay, I'm going to have to look into that because I've also been looking for a good recipe app as well.
Yeah.
And I just haven't found one. Every time I want to cook refried beans in the Instapot, I have to go online and look up the recipe.
And get on the website, yes.
Because I don't have it memorized yet.
Yeah, okay. I have that same problem. I either have to print it out or go and get it online. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. So what I'm going to pick for my favorite thing is, excuse me, I am picking my new cell phone. Yay, I got a new cell phone for Christmas. Now, let me explain why this is such a big deal. I have had my prior cell phone for 5 years. 5 years, folks, with a cell phone. So 5 years ago in October, so this would have been October of 2013, I got an iPhone 5S, and I have had that same phone. And I've kept it for a number of reasons. It really is. I'm not going to lie. It's impressive. I've kept it for a number of reasons. First of all, because I wanted to prove to my children, albeit I think the lesson was lost on them, but I wanted to prove to them, guys, you don't have to have the newest, fanciest cell phone every year. Second reason, I hate cell phone shopping. The two things that I hate more than anything else are buying a new car and cell phone shopping.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It creates so much stress for me. So it is just easier to keep the old phone until the thing dies.
Yeah.
Rather than get a new cell phone. Well, it still had not died, but it really clearly was on its last legs. And so it was time for me to pick a new cell phone. And so I got out there and I did the research and I picked the iPhone XR. And this is the iPhone that is, so it's a 10 and the R, it comes in all the different colors. So you may have remembered when they came out with the 5C came in all sorts of different colors. Mm-hmm. So I picked the red and I have to tell you, I freaking love it. It's so nice to have a new cell phone that doesn't run out of battery.
Right.
But the best part of it is it has absolutely an amazing camera.
Yes.
And you were commenting on that because I was babysitting your baby on Friday night.
Yes.
And I took pictures of him.
And I was like, holy cow, is that from your phone?
It was.
It blurs the background like a fancy camera would.
Exactly. They have this portrait feature that if you're taking a picture of a human being, it will blur the background. It creates beautiful pictures. I am giddy with excitement. And I think after 5 years, I'm entitled to a new phone.
Yes. Good for you.
So.
Now you have to come take pictures of my children for me.
I will be happy to take pictures of your children because I happen to think that your children are darling subjects. Not that I'm biased or anything. The problem is my children are all teenagers and they don't want their picture taken. So they do not allow me to take pictures of them. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for us tonight.
Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody. And
Twim Nation, we've enjoyed your company, and we hope that you've enjoyed us. And as always, you can find Twim on Facebook, Instagram. There is always the good old-fashioned website for Twim. And alas, if you want to talk to Jeff, you can do contact@thisweekinmormons.com. And Jeff monitors that email account, and he will respond to you.
Promptly, I'm sure.
I'm sure of it. Good night.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Hey, I'm gonna stay.
Thank you.